I know we're resilient, and we will win at the end.
Alex Preti and Renee Good were both 37 years old and both residents of Minneapolis's South Side.
My name is Omar Fateh, state senator representing Southside Minneapolis District 62, also the site in which both Alex and Renee Good have been murdered. Right now we're inside Glam Doll Donuts off of Nicolette, right by the site of, in which Alex was murdered at the hands of ICE. This morning, Alex was outside with all of our neighbors, serving as a neighborhood protector, recording ICE when ICE comes into the community. We've had neighborhood response groups come together, prepare, organize each other. And we've gotten a lot of misinformation and lies spread by the federal government and right wing, saying that he was a threat to our ICE agents. He was a threat to the neighbors, and that's completely false. What we saw on camera was Alex was peacefully observing. He had a camera on his hand. He was tackled, he was pummeled, and he was executed. And we've seen that on camera. Well, we've seen our president talk out of both sides of his mouth. At one time, he's saying that he wants to target, quote-unquote, criminals, folks that are here illegally. And then he's saying that, no, we've got to get all the Somalis out. We've got to send them back to their country. They're all criminals. And so what we're seeing right now, and that's very evident here in Minneapolis, is that not only our immigrant communities are being targeted, but literally United States citizens have been murdered.
On Sunday morning, state investigators with the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension were seen canvassing the site where Alex Preti was killed. They noted the locations of security cameras and asked people to step aside while they inspected the site of the shooting.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We really appreciate it.
Heidi Randon is a registered nurse who joined other healthcare workers at a vigil honoring Alex Jeffrey Preti.
Alex was an ICU nurse at the VA. That's one of the toughest jobs in the world, and I'm so grateful to Alex for the care that he provided to his patients, and I'm holding his family in my heart right now, and I'm holding his coworkers in my heart. These people are not helpers. They are not enforcing the law. They are causing chaos, and they are hurting people, and they need to go.
For Democracy Now!, I'm John Hamilton in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Special thanks to John Hamilton. When we come back, we speak to a doctor who hired Alex Preti, the ICU nurse fatally shot by federal immigration agents in Minnesota on Saturday. Stay with us.
In the Hagerty forsaken, got no reason to cry. You got to chew the angels falling from on high, waiting for no answer, baking woeful pie. Pie of eyesight, pie blue-black, oh, that pie, the pie of pie and pie. In the hog of the forsaken, he will leave you one more chance, which if you won't be taken, he'll leave it for the ants. Sings out in the wilderness, sings for friend and foe. He sings of these and those times.
Hog of the Forsaken by the late folk musician Michael Hurley. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to look more at the life of Alex Preti, fatally shot by federal immigration agents in Minnesota Saturday morning after he tried to help a woman they had shoved to the ground. Preti was an intensive care nurse who worked at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs healthcare system. The family of Alex released a statement saying, in part, "We're heartbroken, but also very angry. Alex was a kind-hearted soul who cared deeply for his family and friends and also the American veterans whom he cared for as an ICU nurse at the Minneapolis VA hospital. Alex wanted to make a difference in this world. Unfortunately, he will not be with us to see his impact," his family said. This is a video of Alex Preti working at the VA hospital. He's seen here reading a tribute to veteran Terrence Randolph, who died of cancer in 2024 at the VA hospital. Randolph's son posted the video online.
Terrence Lee Randolph, March 30th, 1947, December 10th, 2024. Today we remember that freedom is not free. We have to work at it, nurture it, protect it, and even sacrifice for it. May we never forget and always remember our brothers and sisters who have served so that we may enjoy the gift of freedom. So in this moment, we remember and give thanks for their dedication and selfless service to our nation in the cause of our freedom. In this solemn hour, we render our honor and our gratitude.
That was Alex Pretty speaking. We're joined now by Dr. Asma Shaket. She hired Alex for a research position at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs Healthcare System about a decade ago. She's now a physician and clinical researcher at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine and the Manhattan VA Medical Center. Dr. Shaket, thanks so much for taking this time. Our deepest condolences. You've called Alex the sweetest, kindest, gentlest soul. So, can you talk about who Alex was, what he did at the VA, why you even hired him a decade ago?
Thank you for having me on. Alex came looking for a position, and he wanted to start off as a research assistant. And what he said was he was passionate about taking care of patients and being involved in healthcare and helping his community. And he wanted to kind of work towards a career in healthcare. So we took him on as a research assistant, and he was absolutely wonderful and a joy to work with. Went above and beyond to help anybody and really had a good rapport with all the patients that were part of the study. And I think patients connected with him on based on his deep empathy for them. He was the kind of helpful person that would open doors for you. If somebody was trying to get in the elevator, he'd hold it for you. If he saw a patient wandering around the hospital looking lost, he would try to help them and direct them. And he did everything really well and then expressed an interest to go into nursing school. We supported his application, and he worked very hard during his first few years doing work with us full time and taking nursing classes part time, and then eventually went into nursing full time. He said he would come back and take care of veterans who are a particularly vulnerable and important group of individuals that require a lot of care. And he actually did. So he came back to work at the same hospital where he started.
Can you talk about how you found out that Alex had been killed? Was it from the official DH statement? I think they called him something along the lines of a domestic terrorist.
I actually found out from our original clinical research group. We still keep in touch, and we have a group chat. And we were all in shock. We just couldn't believe that this was our Alex, the Alex we knew, who was nothing but kindness, compassion, and just a strong sense of civic duty to help his fellow citizens.
And can you give us examples of his research role where Alex's compassion or intellect directly impacted a veteran's care or a study's outcome? Was he involved with clinical trials?
He was involved with clinical trials. A lot of it had to do with enrolling potential participants that were eligible, speaking with them, and then following up on them. And one of our particular studies we were recruiting for, I remember he told us about a patient that he was able to speak with who was having a lot of difficulties just about his medical and overall life. And Alex was not just able to tell him about the study, but also guide him in terms of where he should go for his healthcare or what kind of questions he should ask with his physicians. So really, he went above and beyond, and his compassion really shone through.
Can you talk about the differences between being a healthcare professional for veterans and for civilians, Dr. Shaket?
Yes, sure. So Veterans Affairs hospital systems take care of veterans. And, you know, these are very, very valued members of our society that have put their lives on the line for the country. So we owe them a lot. They also have a lot of medical as well as mental health challenges, along with socioeconomic and other challenges that they face. So they're a particularly vulnerable group, and one that it is both challenging and rewarding to work with. So that's what Alex wanted to do, was really help the most vulnerable and the disenfranchised group that, you know, others don't really pay attention to.
Dr. Shaked, beyond the personal grief of losing a former colleague, can you talk about the loss of a caregiver?
I think this is an assault on our healthcare community. We care for our healthcare team members. As you know, every day it's long hours, they're underpaid and overworked. So really it is a calling, not just a job. And for somebody to be in this noble profession, what you get out of it is the satisfaction of helping others, of being a healer. So for a member of our community to be brutally murdered like this is extremely shocking and very, very devastating for our community.
I want to thank you so much, Dr. Asma Shaked, who hired Alex Preti decade ago for a research position at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs Healthcare System. She's now a physician and clinical researcher here in New York at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine and the Manhattan VA Medical Center. This is Democracy Now! When we come back, we turn to a civil rights attorney and minister who was arrested and jailed last week for protesting. Stay with us.
Se va pasando el trapo sobre la mesa y está cuidando que todo brille como una perla. Cuando llegue la patrona, que no se vuelva a quejar. No sea cosa que la acuse de ilegal. O se atiende los jardines, parecen de Disneyland. Maneja una troca vieja sin la licencia. No importa si fue taxista allá en su tierra natal. Eso no importa para el tío Sam.
El hielo, ice, by La Santa Cecilia in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman as we continue to look at the deadly federal immigration crackdown in Minnesota. We're joined now by the civil rights attorney, minister, and activist Nakima Levy Armstrong. On Friday, she was released from jail a day after she and at least two others were arrested for participating in an anti-ICE demonstration at City's Church in St. Paul, where one of the pastors also leads a local ICE field office. This is a clip from that protest.
David Easterwood is a pastor here. He is also the director of the field office for ICE in St. Paul. So someone who claims to worship God, teaching people in this church about God, is out there overseeing ICE agents.
Nakima Levy Armstrong was arrested by Homeland Security Investigations, HSI, and FBI agents at the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi. Bondi announced Armstrong's arrest on social media, referring to the protest as a, quote, coordinated attack on a house of worship. The White House then posted an AI-altered image of Nakima's arrest, making it appear she was crying, along with the text, arrested far-left agitator Nakima Levy Armstrong for orchestrating church riots in Minnesota. Unquote. The unaltered image clearly shows she was not crying. Nakima, welcome back to Democracy Now! There's so much to talk about since you were released from jail, not to mention what they have done to your image, not to mention them what has happened on Saturday, which we will mention, which is the killing of a second protester, Alex Preti. Your response that all that has transpired, in a moment we're going to go to the mass protest of tens of thousands of Minnesotans on Friday.
I think it's absolutely despicable, Amy, what our federal government is doing under the guise of immigration enforcement. They have essentially waged war in the streets of Minneapolis and the Twin Cities. And as you can see, two innocent civilians, American citizens, have been brutally murdered at the hands of ICE agents. Not only that, but as you saw, I'm being criminalized for helping to lead a nonviolent, peaceful demonstration inside of a church in which David Easterwood serves as a pastor, but also serves as the overseer for ICE agents in Minnesota. He is the very person who was cited in a lawsuit that was in front of Judge Menendez, where he was justifying the conduct of ICE agents, claiming that they were not behaving unconstitutionally, and also blaming protesters, claiming that protesters are the aggressors. So when you look collectively at the actions of the federal government, we have to understand that what they're doing is unconstitutional, it is diabolical, it is illegal, and it is unacceptable. We cannot be silent at a time like this. Even after what they have done to me with these trumped up charges, arresting me, literally in bringing me in shackles from the federal courthouse to the Sherburne County Jail, along with my co-defendant, Chantel Allen, I am continuing to use my voice to speak out against this fascism, tyranny, and authoritarianism of the Trump administration. And others have to do the same.
What are you being charged with?
We are being charged with going into a church under the FACE Act, and they are claiming that we disrupted people from being able to practice their religion, or that we intended to, which is absolutely not true. We did not stop people from practicing their religion. As a matter of fact, there were folks who were still praying, who were still worshiping, who were still singing while we were there during the demonstration. And protesters and parishioners were engaged in conversation during that time. And so they have altered the facts, just as they altered my image, as a way of trying to criminalize nonviolent, peaceful protests and lawful dissent against their unlawful and unjust actions.
And the idea that you have been charged, but the ICE agent who killed Renee Good, an FBI agent, an FBI officer, has just quit because she was prevented from investigating his death. And of course, we don't know what has happened to the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol agents who killed Alex Preti. Were they taken out of the state? We don't know.
From our understanding, they were taken out of the state. And not only does this indicate a failure of our federal government in terms of there being literally zero checks and balances for any of these federal agents that have descended upon the streets of the Twin Cities of Minnesota, but it's also a failure of our democratic leadership.
Nikki Malevi Armstrong, I want to thank you for being with us, because we're going to end with the tens of thousands of people who braved the bitter cold Friday, demanding ICE out of Minnesota. Democracy Now!'s John Hamilton was there.
It was 10 degrees below zero Fahrenheit when a crowd numbering in the tens of thousands marched through downtown Minneapolis Friday afternoon, calling on ICE to get out of Minnesota. It was the largest single day of action so far in the ongoing standoff between local community and the Trump administration, since ICE, Border Patrol, and other federal agents, now numbering around 3,000, descended on Minnesota for Operation Metro Surge several weeks ago, bringing chaos, fear, and violence.
My name is Jenna Sherrick. I'm a local Minnesotan who grew up here my whole life. What's going around is not okay, and we all need to be here to make a difference and say it's not okay. When cruelty becomes reality, compassion becomes radical. Sarah Shea. I'm a Minnesotan, and I'm here to support our Inuit neighbors and our friends and families and people who are not deserving what's going on right now. It's outrageous. We're frustrated. We're angry. We're everything, and we should all be out here supporting our neighbors and getting ICE out of our city. ICE out, and we protect us, because right now that is all us. It's all community. We are the only ones out here doing it for each other.
Standing back and not doing anything doesn't help with, you know, the situation. Everybody's scared. Everybody, so we need to speak out.
The Day of Action was organized by clergy and labor leaders under the banner ICE Out, a Day of Truth and Freedom. The Minnesota AFL-CIO, representing over 1,000 unions across the state, endorsed the march, as well as many others. John Royce is an English teacher with the Minnesota Federation of Educators.
And we are here to shut it all down. All of us teachers from Minneapolis to St. Paul, from all the way up from Duluth down to Rochester, we are all here in the middle of Minneapolis to shut it all down for our students and their families and ICE out of our communities. Every teacher has so many stories right now, but, you know, one, last week I had a student who joined online during class, and in the middle of my lesson, I teach English, the student messaged me and said, ICE is outside of my house right now. What do I do? And you know, I stopped class right away. All the students heard what happened. And you know, thank God his neighbors were out there outside of his house, and they chased ICE out of their neighborhood. Those agents had been circling his house all morning. And you know, I think it's really telling of our community, of our neighborhoods, how we've organized, and how we are out there defending one another, including my student, who thank God he's safe. You know, the fear is so tangible. The fear is so tangible. This is our last option. We need to shut it all down. And so I am calling on every educator in this state, in this country, to shut it down with Minneapolis, with St. Paul. You need to shut it all down with us, because if we do not shut it down right now, your city is next. And we do not want that to happen. We want to protect our students. We want our students back in schools. And the way we are going to get it is by shutting it down to get ICE the hell out of here.
Among those protesting were members of the Hmong American community, like Julie, whose family came to the United States decades ago as refugees after working alongside the U.S. in its secret war in Laos during the Vietnam War. She held a sign that read, Hmong against ICE.
Scary, because they don't, regardless if you're a citizen or not, they don't ask, no question asked. They just assume that you're illegal, that you're a criminal. And it's not fair for those of us, the people of color. My parents, they're citizen, but then we all live in fear. I'm a citizen, and I still live in fear every single day. And then now my kids are fear of, you know, going to school, because they have heard of stories of kids getting detained. And then my kids, they're scared of going to school. We was promised safety. We was promised that, you know, we'll get the freedom. But yet, today's world, we are seeing that, you know, it's getting revoked. Like, the United States are taking back the words. And the question is, why? Why is it getting revoked? Why are we now being targeted as, you know, aliens, criminals? Some of us took off work, no school, no shopping, so we're all out here against ICE.
As demonstrators in the streets shut down parts of the Twin Cities, more than 700 businesses across the state closed their doors for what some called an economic blackout or general strike. Insight Brewing in Minneapolis was closed for business but stayed open for neighbors participating in the Day of Action. This is marketing manager Joey Steinbach.
We are a space for our community, and our community is hurting right now. And the best way that we can help out is just direct to family donations. We've got a bunch of volunteers that are absolutely stellar. Outside of that, we're just making some signs. We're providing snacks, hand warmers, you know, just being a temporary third space while we're not open for official business.
Corporations that support or work with ICE were also targeted by demonstrators, like at the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport.
Who's airport? Our airport!
where demonstrators gathered to protest deportation flights. The crowd of several hundred held signs that said business as usual doesn't fly and Rene Good was good. Among those who gathered were dozens of faith leaders. They shared stories of airport workers who had been arrested.
Lift up Pedro, a janitor who helped his sister who was unable to work and was detained.
No!
He decided to self-deport because he could not take the conditions at the detention center in Texas.
The union that represents airport workers reports at least 12 members have been arrested by ICE. Clergy then joined arms and sang while others knelt and prayed before police surrounded them, and at least 100 were arrested. According to organizers, more than 70,000 people marched in Minneapolis Friday, and several thousand were in attendance at the Target Center for a rally. This is comedian and native Minnesotan Liz Winstead.
And the untold thousands that are in this sport bowl facility, I am proud to call you neighbors. I do have to point out that we are in the Target Center, which may seem ironic, but remember the Target Center is something our tax dollars pay for. So chant it with me. Whose stadium?
Our stadium.
Whose stadium?
Our stadium. We are many. We are many.
The venue is named after the retail giant based in Minnesota that activists have criticized for permitting ICE to operate on their property and to arrest employees without warrants.
And when today is over, let's commit to shopping at the businesses that stood with us and make sure they can make it through these tough times, because the silence from the corporations in this state is deafening.
Speaking at the rally, faith and labor leaders urged Minnesotans to continue to stand together. This is CWA President Claude Cummings.
We stand in defiance of a wannabe dictator, and we will rise against the corporations and Trump's billionaire buddies quietly funding his campaign to shred the Constitution. Political scientists and historians tell us when countries have successfully prevented or reversed authoritarian control, unions have played an important role in stopping it. How do we do that? We stand shoulder to shoulder with our union siblings and with allies across the country. We do that when we join together and focus our attention directly on the corporations that enable fascism. Our unity across communities, organizations, and unions is our power. And whatever we do, we must do it together.
And they spoke of neighbors who had been lost to ICE violence. This is Rabbi Ariel Lekach Rosenberg.
I want to lift up the names of two neighbors, Victor Manuel Diaz, abducted from his workplace in Minnesota on January 6th, who died in ICE custody in Texas on January 14th. I want to lift up the name of Renee Macklin Good, queer poet, wife, parent, murdered in South Minneapolis by ICE on January 7th while observing an abduction in her neighborhood. May their memories be for blessing. May their families be comforted and surrounded in love.
The next day, another Minnesotan would be killed. Alex Jeffrey Preeti. For Democracy Now!, this is John Hamilton in Minneapolis.
Voices from Friday's massive protest and rally in Minnesota's unions and churches led an economic blackout to protest ICE. Special thanks to John Hamilton and Sam Alkoff and our special storm team here in New York. Tamari Astudio, Chirina Nadura, Ravi Karen, Mike Burke, Nicole Salazar, Mike DeFilippo, Safwat Nizal, Becca Staley, John Randolph, Cole Marksha, Julie Crosby, Gina Gester, Messiah Rhodes. I'll be speaking at the John Barrymore Center in Fort Lee.
something curious, something cultural, something unserious, sometimes serious, something mundane, something everyday, though not even really that. Tune into Typically Tuesdays, airing every Monday, you heard that right, Monday, from 3 to 4 p.m., your hour of quasi-cerebral talk and tunes.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.